We are going to talk about Philippians 4, 16 through 23. Brothers, what can you add? What can you test? What can you correct? What can you say about that verse-by-verse study?
You covered it pretty well. There's not too much meat packed in here, but what was you pretty much expounded on. I guess one thing that jumped out at me a little bit was how the service of the saints to one another is an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. It kind of deepens what it means in Romans 12:1. You know, we're to offer up our lives as a living sacrifice. And then here he says that the service of the saints one to another and our giving, God loves a cheerful giver, is also something that God, that's well-pleasing and acceptable to God, like a sacrifice and a sweet odor. And then in Revelation, it says in several places about how the prayers of the saints are like incense and a sweet odor before God. So it kind of all ties together this picture that worship and sacrifice, and call it what you would, worship, praise, prayer, all of those things, they kind of all tie together to form this picture that our entire life and service is a sacrifice and a worship and pleasing to God. It's not just, you know, a dedicated worship service, as they call it, or something like that. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we become, as Romans 12:1 says, we become the living sacrifice. You mentioned the odor, the sweet smell to God. Can I give you one, I don't want to say lame, but one tiny, not even comparable example, but I just want to throw this in there. So we live in a van. My wife, Sister Amma, and I, as you guys know, anybody listening, we're full-time van dwellers, and we travel around the country. So the van is my house. That's my house, along with Sister Amman, but my physical house. So you may have a more physical house, an apartment, a house, a homestead. And let me give you an example of the sweet savor. You know what I love? When I'm out working or doing something, and I know my godly wife is in our house, and she's cooking, and I open the door, and I can smell soup, or I can smell dinner. Now, I know this is a fleshly example, but it's my house, and it's an odor coming out of my house that's very pleasing, because it feels like my house is in order. It might be coming like we're coming together to break bread with brothers and sisters. I know that's a really low example, but it kind of reminds me of like God, like we're the house of God, and it's like if God was to open our door and see what we're doing and see those beautiful odors going up to him, like they used to have incense burning, that it's really pleasing to the one who's ultimately over our house. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Kind of verse is, he opens the door and we're yelling and screaming at each other and throwing food at each other because we're fighting. You know, the difference when there's order and things are happening and it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. There's a scripture, Psalm 131, I believe. Nope. I was wrong.
Well, he's looking for that. Oh, go ahead.
Psalm 133, I was off by two. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen. Yeah, that's something that the churchianity system doesn't even strive for. They've been told that you can't have unity, you can't agree. I just had a man recently email me, we all have unity in the essentials, love in the liberty in the non-essentials, and love in everything. And this is the lies they've been sold, that there's non-essential things in God's word. We don't all have to agree, when God's word teaches the exact opposite. The unity of the saints is pleasing to God. Brother Purgos, Brother Kuo, what do you guys say about that, or about anything?
Well, I was just going to read something from 3 John, but since what you just said, I'll just read a verse higher. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that was in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well.
Amen.
I was referencing about basically providing for the needs of people doing ministry, their needs.
Yeah.
As 3 John seems to be a...
Amen. Amen. Brother Kuo, any thoughts from you? I got a thought I want to bring up, but I want you to get a chance. Any thoughts from you on this verse by verse?
Yeah, so two places in Scripture came to mind. First, when Paul was talking about the Philippians, like, helping him with all of his needs and everything. The thing that popped into mind was Acts 2, the end of Acts 2. And I'll just start at 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So I just wanted to bring that up because, yeah, it's almost like we don't have any treasure here on earth. When you commit your life to Christ, when you give your whole life to Christ, you're focused on the eternal kingdom. The physical treasures here on earth are just means to an end to help in the eternal strivings of every saint. So they parted their goods among all men to make sure everyone had something to help them in their walk, whatever it may be. So that just came to mind there. And then I also wanted to bring up, when talking about the riches of Christ, the parable that came to mind was in Luke 12. And it was about the rich man and how he built up barns. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just read the end. Basically, this rich man built more barns to keep more of his goods. And he said, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is verse 19. Now it's 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And it's kind of on that same vein. It's like the riches that are here are meant to be a means to an end to help in the eternal. Because the only thing we can take with us are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So it should be used for the body. We shouldn't make it into an idol like the world does. We shouldn't be striving to make more and more and more of it, to gather, to heap up. Ecclesiastes said, the Lord gives the travail of gathering and heaping up to those that, to the wicked. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. And in Acts 2, is, you know, the context is there, you had saints that had extra, and they were helping people that had nothing. So it would be like, you know, it'd be like if I own 2 or 3 different properties, and I said, yeah, I own these properties, and everybody knows I have them, and I go there once in a while, and I visit them, but, you know, I just have them. And all of a sudden, I know about these brothers that want to go in ministry, but they can't afford a van, or they can't get free from a situation would help them go out and do ministry. And I go, well, hope that works out well for you. But I got all this excess that I don't even need, and I don't do anything with it. That's kind of the context of Acts 2. And that's, yeah, you noted that well, that everything that we have is the Lord's, and it should be used for his eternal purposes, not so much our temporal, short of what he ordained, like us feeding our bodies. That kind of stuff is all natural and good, pure and true. But beyond that, and with the point I wanted to bring up, let's talk about this. I brought up the word needs. He shall meet all your needs. It means necessities. I know we've talked about this before. Always make sure that your giving is needs-based. Does that make sense to you, brothers? Needs-based. And the reason I bring this up is, believe it or not, Sister Amin and I have met lots of people, like even in home fellowships, when they think you should just give money away for the sake of giving it away, even if there's not true needs. Just find somewhere to give it away because you should give. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches to fill needs. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you can't find anybody that's in a true need, you should lay that money a store until you find people and brethren that have a true need. You don't just go throwing your money around for the sake of just giving, if that makes sense.
Yeah, by definition, like, giving of alms is pleased to God, remembering the poor is commanded, but giving an alms to a poor person is, again, it's need-based. It's somebody who has a need and you help your brother in need.
Right.
Somebody who has an addiction and is just, you're going to basically push him further along the road to destruction. That's not helping him. Give him food and the gospel and you've helped him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, again, like, it's a need, it's a necessity. Again, like, you sent once again unto my necessity.
Yep. Amen. So, and we see in the New Testament, most of their money went for, as opposed to churchianity, where 70 to 80%, the latest stats I read, of their money that comes in goes to buildings and salaries. 70 to 80% goes to buildings and salaries. The New Testament body, their needs, their money went to preaching the gospel, funding men to preach the gospel, and looking after widows and orphans. Not buildings, not salaries. Big difference, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Big difference. Anything else about this chapter and verse? Or this verse by verse? Go ahead, Brother Purgos.
Just two quick thoughts. God definitely takes into consideration what you were doing. I was reading through Acts today, and this came up in my mind. Acts 10:31, and said Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. So, more than just at the final judgment, even for your prayer, God considers what you do with your resources, both spiritual and physical. And you were talking about grace. Something in Acts popped to mind. Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There's no more winking at sin. It's totally gone. It's 100% follow Christ or else.
Amen. Amen. Good point, brother. Good point. Brother Cool, anything else?
No, that's kind of my piece on it.
Brother Zelos?
I think you covered everything else pretty good, so.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it right there. Well, this will go up in the Ecclesia Gathering, and then it's on to the Book of Revelation, brothers and sisters.
Amen.